It has always been around. It will always have a niche. But they'll make it a privilege, not a right, accessible only to the rich. Hey, pro-lifers need to dig themselves, because life don't stop after birth. And for a child born to the unprepared, it might even just get worse. The situation would surely change if they were to find themselves in it. Supporters of the H-bomb and firebombing clinics.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Adele Stan, a journalist based in Washington, D.C., who specializes in covering the intersection of religion and politics. She is RH Reality Check's senior Washington correspondent and just wrote the article, At Any Cost, How Catholic Bishops Pushed for a Shutdown and Even a Default over Birth Control. Welcome to Background Briefing, Adele Stan.
Thanks so much for having me, Ian.
And it's extraordinary at a time where the new pope has spoken out against the obsession, as he referred to it, of abortion that has gripped the Catholic Church and called upon the bishops to be much more pastoral and to go out and toil in the fields of the Lord as opposed to living in their palaces with their servants and limousines. And the Pope has set an example by eschewing all of those trappings. Mm-hmm. And recently he went to celebrate St. Francis of Assisi, whose name he's taken. So I don't understand, and I spoke the other day to Sister Simone Campbell, who was singled out by the Catholic bishops for
by the previous pope
over the the very issue that this new pope is saying, you know, we should forget about or de-emphasize,
I think is the correct term.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now we learn from your reporting that these same Catholic bishops here in the United States have been weighing in behind the scenes, and obviously since John Boehner is a practicing Catholic, and so is Paul Ryan, the head of the Budget Committee,
right,
it would seem that they have some influence on the House. So tell me what they're up to.
Well, what the bishops have been up to is, and they've been up to this for a while, is let's start from the beginning. They object quite vehemently to the birth control benefit that is part of the Affordable Care Act, Ian. And that benefit, it makes employers have to provide, if they provide insurance plans to their employees, and we have to remember most employees contribute to the cost of those plans, right? So if they provide insurance plans to their employees, those plans have to cover, under the preventive care provisions, contraception that is, prescription contraception has to be covered. And it has to be covered without a deductible and without a copayment, so that no woman is prevented by her economic circumstances from getting the birth control method that is most appropriate for her, including sterilization is also a part of the coverage. But, you know, your mundane, usual methods, birth control pills, IUDs, all that would be covered. So the bishops have a real problem with this. It doesn't matter that houses of worship are exempt as far as they are concerned. They do not want the less religiously oriented institutions that are affiliated with the church to have to do this. And the administration made an that would include like hospitals and universities and that kind of thing. The administration made an accommodation whereby these institutions would not have to buy this, would not have to pay for this coverage themselves. They got an agreement with the insurance companies, so the insurance companies would then provide the coverage for free. Why? Because it's a lot cheaper to cover birth control than it is to cover a pregnancy. So it's in their interest. So that's the backstory. Well, the bishops are having none of it, even with the accommodation. And so they have crafted this argument around so-called religious liberty. They're claiming that this violates their religious liberty. And they're calling not only for their institutions to be exempted from this requirement, but any private business whose owners believe that the use of contraception contradicts their religious belief. They should be able to opt out entirely from allowing their employees, at no cost to them, the employer, to have birth control through these plans. So that's what we're up against. And the bishops, are saying this is a violation of their religious liberty. Never mind that the religious liberty of any woman who would be prescribed a contraceptive, you know, would be impeded upon by being, you know, not allowed to access this benefit. So that's where we are. And the bishops are so adamant about this, Ian. They were willing to shut down the government in order to make a play to get some kind of relief from it.
And are they also ready to destroy the economy by defaulting on the debt?
It would definitely seem that way from the letter that they sent. They sent a letter to bishops, Sean Cardinal O'Malley, who's the Archbishop of Boston, and Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore. They both head different committees of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, which is also known as the Bishop's Lobby. And so they sent this letter to all members of Congress that made the case that that they think that it should be attached to some kind of, quote-unquote, must-pass legislation. And that can be either the government shutdown, what they call the continuing resolution, which would have kept the government open, or it can mean the debt ceiling, which a second letter sent by another group of bishops referenced as being endangered by the lack of some kind of conscience clause for religious business owners and institutions on this particular measure. So what happened was, if your listeners recall, there was, you know, one continuing resolution that was passed through the GOP-led House that attached an amendment that would have totally defunded Obamacare. Well, you know, that was done as a poison pill, knowing if the Senate would never accept that. They stripped out that part. We had Ted Cruz's filibuster, his fake filibuster. It went back to the House. Time is running out. The October 1 deadline for a shutdown, unless they pass this continuing resolution, is happening. It's coming on close. And on September 26th, the bishops then sent this letter saying, hey, you know, we think that this Conscience Rights Act that you guys have already crafted should be attached. Well, GOP didn't go quite that far. What they did was they attached an amendment that would have delayed this benefit, as well as other screenings, for preventive screenings for women, including screenings for HPV virus, and which causes cervical cancer, all kind of stuff, would be attached, knowing that that would also be stripped out by the Senate, and that by the time that got back to the House, the government would shut down. And, you know, what does that do? That shut down the women, infants, children nutritional program, or at least put it in jeopardy. It shut down a number of Head Start centers where little children of limited means go to school. It did all kinds of bad things for regular people.
Again, I'm speaking with Adele Stan, who is a journalist based in Washington, D.C., who specializes in covering the intersection of religion and politics. She is RH Reality Check's senior Washington correspondent and just wrote the article, At Any Cost, How Catholic Bishops Push for a Shutdown and Even a Default Over Birth Control. But as your article points out, Adele Stan, the whole passage of the Affordable Care Act hung in the balance. And, of course, as we know, it was passed, and it was passed in both houses, signed by the president and upheld by the Supreme Court. But going back to the passage in the House at the last minute, Representative Joe Pitts, a Republican of Pennsylvania, and former Democratic Congressman Bart Stupak, the bishops weighed in on them to try and derail it over the same issue, even though the Hyde Amendment...
That was actually over abortion, not...
Right, over abortion, and irrespective of the fact that the Hyde Amendment is the law of the land. And I recall at that point, it was the nuns who weighed in and saved us, right? Or saved the Affordable Care Act.
Well, I mean, you could see it that way. And this is why I think, and this has long been my theory, why the bishops really have it in for Obama, because he showed that they do not have the power over their flock. Because the Catholic people stood behind these women religious who, as individuals, signed on to a letter that said that they found the Affordable Care Act, as constructed, to be acceptable. And part of that construction made it very, very clear that, you know, no federal subsidies would be used for abortion coverage, and that women would have to cover, you know, would have to purchase separate coverage if they wanted coverage for abortion, and they would have to pay for that out of their own pockets. And so they found that acceptable. The Catholic Health Association, headed by Sister Carol, I forget her name now, but they found it acceptable. And then that gave Obama sort of Catholic bona fides to go before the people and say, see, you know, the people you love and respect in your church, because nuns always poll much higher among Catholics than bishops.
Well, they actually do the Lord's work. I mean,
well, yeah, they're
where the rubber meets the road,
and teaching the children and all of that. Yeah.
Well, now isn't that, though, that's being used rather cynically here? And there's another letter that you mentioned in your article, Adele Stand, from the Bishop's Lobby, signed by Bishop Stephen Blair of Stockton, California, Archbishop Jose Gomez of Los Angeles, and Bishop Richard Pates of Des Moines. They're stating their concern over the high rates of poverty in the U.S., the 1 in 5 children who are poor and hungry, and the 49 million Americans who experienced food insecurity over the last year. And, of course, you know, the Republicans are trying to eviscerate the food stamp program, make the poor subject to drug tests, etc. So there is clearly a war on the poor going on the Republican right. But these bishops, while expressing concern for the least among us, are tying that to this jihad against birth control.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like they're crying crocodile tears. You know, on the one hand, they are saying, isn't this horrible? All of these things are hanging in the balance, and we are so concerned about, you know, these 1 in 5 children who are living in poverty and the growing inequality. But but it's you, Democrats, essentially, is what the subtext is, who are putting it all in jeopardy because you refuse to include conscience provision on this birth control measure. And it's, you know, it's just bizarre to me. I mean, it makes it very, very clear to me, Ian, that, you know, no bishop has ever had to face an unplanned pregnancy. No bishop has ever had to face the terror and blood and pain of a problem pregnancy. No bishop has ever had to wonder how to feed his children, at least in theory. So, you know, we're talking about an institution that discriminates against women in the most primitive way in its very leadership structure, and justifies it through a theology, where most Christian denominations long ago abandoned that kind of discrimination.
Well, and there are, of course, the women religious within the Catholic Church who pushing for the ordination of women. If priests were to marry, the very thing that you just said, Adele Stan, would go away, that the priests, you know, if they were able to marry and their daughter got pregnant, they might have a completely different view of abortion.
Sure. If you see your wife, you're sitting in a labor room with your wife, you know, going through a very difficult, life-threatening pregnancy, you know. I mean, it's a whole major aspect of the human experience that they don't have.
So do you think that Boehner and Ryan and company have now a kind of religious sanction to go to the mat? If the bishops are saying, you know, bless you, my child, you're free to screw the government, shut down the government, and destroy the economy for the greater good.
Yes, I do. I think that that is what the bishops have afforded them by sending these letters, because there is no other reason for the second letter that were sent by the one we just talked about that referenced all of these terrible things that are befalling the least among us. There is no other reason for that letter, because the shutdown was already imminent at the time that they wrote it, other than to give these guys cover should they shut down the government, or should they force the default of the federal government on the debt ceiling fight, which is fast upon us.
So, in fact, I remember asking Sister Simone Campbell when she was we were talking to her recently about the Pope's remarks on the church being obsessed with abortion, and where he made kind remarks about gays and lesbians and seemed to indicate that the church should shift its focus away from its obsession with abortion and gay marriage and contraception and start reviving its core mission of dealing with the poor and standing up for social justice. And
right.
So that was relatively recently that I spoke to her, and I said to her, I said, do you think that these same cardinals, and particularly these bishops here in the United States who are writing this letter to Boehner and Paul Ryan, et cetera, do you think those that chose this new pope have buyer's remorse? And she thought that was kind of funny. But what do you think is going on there? How are these people, like the bishops that signed this letter, you know, O'Malley and company, and the Laurie, and the guy in New York who's a real hardliner, hail fellow, well-met hardliner, how are they dealing with what the Pope is saying? Are they going to listen to him? Are they going to stop living in their palaces and having their fine wines and having little Filipino nuns give them pedicures? I mean...
Well, you know, I kind of doubt that, and I don't think that Francis has reiterated his remarks that he made, you know, speaking to the Jesuit publication where he talked about the obsession with abortion and the harsh tone towards LGBT people. I think that, you know, that was something that happened once. If he wants to see any kind of change, he's going to have to repeat that message quite a lot if he wants to see any change at the U.S., in the U.S. Church. However, I do think it was aimed. I do totally think it was aimed at the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. So what I would imagine is, you know, the Vatican is an institution with many layers of bureaucracy. And so the guys who are writing these letters, they got a lot of friends in the Curia. The Curia is basically the Vatican bureaucracy. It's sort of like the cabinet, you know. But it's also sort of like the CIA in that it's the permanent government in a sense. So they still have friends in high places. And unless the Pope can do some reform of the Curia and also continue to reinforce his message that he delivered when he spoke to the Jesuit journalist, we'll see just much of the same in the U.S. Church. It's got to be a full-on offensive. I do think this Pope is very clever. I think that he understands the public relations disaster that is befalling the U.S. Church, especially as it makes common cause with the Tea Party movement.
Well, Adele Stan, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thanks so much for having me, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Adele Stan, who's a journalist based in Washington, D.C., who specializes in covering the intersection of religion and politics. She is RH Reality Check's senior Washington correspondent. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.